Rishi Shiva, I'd like to just very briefly share with you a piece of Gemara. I made some copies, and if you have one in front of you, fine. If not, it's a pretty famous Gemara. It's a Gemara in Brachas, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says the following. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi states, Pam achas hayisi mahalech b'derech, v'nichnasli l'churba achas mechurvos Yerushalayim mispalel. Once entered one of the ruins of Yerushalayim, Ba Eliyahu zachur latov v'shamar li ala Pesach ad sheyisamti tefilati. And Eliyahu came and he waited for me at the entrance of the ruin until I finished my tefillah. La'achas sheyisamti tefilasi, after I finished my tefillah, he comes over to me, Eliyahu, and he says, Shalom Aleich Rebbe, peace be upon you, Rebbe. And I responded to him, Shalom Aleich Rebbe Umori. And then Eliyahu asks him a question. V'amarli b'ni mibnei ma, for why did you enter into this Chorban? And Rabbi Yosef says that to daven. And then Eliyahu says, you should have just prayed on the way, on the road. And Rabbi Yossi responds, Miss Yare Hayisi, I was afraid. Shema Yafsiku be over Drachim. Maybe what will happen is I would be interrupted. And therefore Eliyahu says, well then, pray just the Tefillah Katsara, that one paragraph that includes all of the Amida. And then Rabbi Yossi says, Ba'oto Shah Lamadati Mimenu Shalosha Dvarim. I learned from Eliyahu three things. Lamadati She'ein Nichnasim L'Chorba. I learned that I shouldn't enter a ruin. V'lamadati shemispala b'derech, and that you can pray on the way. V'lamadati, and I learned shemispala b'derech, when you pray on the way, mispala tefillah katsara. You pray the abbreviated tefillah. V'amar libani, ma kol shamat b'churban zu, what voice did you hear in this ruin? And Rabbi Yossi says, shamati bas kol, I heard a bas kol, Sheminahemes Kiyona, that cooed like a dove, Va'omeres, and stated, Ay Levanim, woe is to the children, Shebe Avanosehem, Hecharafti es Basi, that because of their sins, I destroyed my house, I burnt my Heichal, and I exiled my children amongst the nations of the world. And therefore, Eliyahu responded, that you should know that that is not only recited, that's not only heard in the ruin, but shalosh pamim, or ela b'chol yom v'yom, shalosh pamim, every single day, three times a day, that statement by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is stated. Rabbi Clonius Kalman Shapira, known as the rabbi of the Warsaw Ghetto, who at 30 years old was appointed as the Rebbe, the rabbi of Piasetzna, in his drasha, on February 14, 1942, his drasha for Parshas Mishpatim, Parshas Shkalim, asked the following question, or basically the following question. And that is, Rabbi Yossi, who's mentioned over 300 times in the Gemara, one of the final students of Rabbi Akiva, and therefore he knew about the tragedy of the destruction of the Second Commonwealth, the tragedy of the destruction of the Jewish people, the Piasetzna asks, why did Rabbi Yossi need to enter into a korban, need to find a place to hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu mourn for his people? And then he also asks a second question, and that is, why is it that it is described that in this ruin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice is so faint, barely heard, that it coos just like a dove, when we're told the fact on the same daf of Gemara, where the asterisk is, a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries like an ari, like a lion, over the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash and of his people. Why is the voice so faint like a dove, says the Piasetzna, when in Yirmiyahu it clearly accentuates the fact that he roars like a lion? And the Piasetzna answers the following. In order for one, and some of it's the Piasetzna and some of it is my own elaboration, you could look at Ish Kodesh and see which part is his and which part you should accept and which part you can ignore. And that is, the Piasetzna basically says the following. In order for one, even as great as Rabbi Yossi, even a student of the martyred Rabbi Akiva, to hear the tragedy, to hear the story of our people, and to ensure that it becomes part of his thought process, part of his Weltanschauung, that there needs to be a chosen space. There needs to be a location. There needs to be moments set aside, the Piasetzna says. There needs to be an environment that's created that allows one to properly internalize the tragedy, the challenges of Knesset Yisrael. And for Rabbi Yossi, that chosen space, that theater of context, was the ruins of Yerushalayim. When I read that piece by the Piasetzna about the need for each and every person, even someone like Rabbi Yossi, to find their own environment, to be able to feel the pain of the Jewish people, which was obvious for him as he writes that until what happened in Warsaw, the greatest tragedy that happened to the Jewish people was the destruction of the second base of Migdash, and that after what he saw during the Shoah, the greatest tragedy of the more painful tragedy was what he was experiencing, or what the Jewish people were experiencing during the Shoah. When I read that piece from the Piasetzna, I realized that for me, and hopefully for all of us, I look at Yom HaShoah, even though its religious significance can be significantly challenged, I look at the religious experience of Yom HaZikaron as a way that forces me to take stock of Imo Anochi Betzara. Do I feel the pain? Do I feel the suffering? Do I feel the plight of our people? Or do I, chas v'shalom, violate the prohibition of Lo Tamod Adam Re'echa? This idea of the Piasetzna highlights that each and every one of us has to find time, whether it is Yom HaZikaron or other times, to carve out a location within our own time frame to reflect on our connection to the fate of Klal Yisrael. But when I read the piece from the Piasetzna, I realized, at least for myself, that I think there's a deeper message here that I would like to share with you. Like so many Torah ideals, this ideal can be celebrated on multiple planes. Sometimes Torah ideals can be celebrated for the community, can actually even speak about certain components of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and sometimes even certain Torah ideals that are discussed on a communal plane can also focus on us as individuals. And especially during Sfiras HaOmer, I took a personal message from what the Piasetzna said. During Sfiras HaOmer, where our goal is our own personal tikkun, that as we march towards Kabbalah HaTorah, the responsibility to count is to make sure that we evaluate our wholeness, to evaluate if we're ready for Matan Torah. I realize that perhaps our responsibility is to nichnas l'churba achas m'churbo Yerushalayim l'hispalel. Now each and every one of us has to take time every single day. We have to find private moments to reflect upon our churban, our lacking of shleimus hanefesh, to look at the churban that is found in the most important domicile that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, the domicile that is found in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls. To ask ourselves, where in our hearts are we missing shleimus? Where are the ruins in our hearts, and how can we repair them? The need to create a makom, the need to create a time, as all the Bali Musar say, in order to ask ourselves, what can we do to be mitake, not just the spheros that are mentioned by every one of the days of the Omer, but to do something even more significant, or to be metaking the spheros by being metaking, by fixing the ruins of Yerushalayim that are found in the incompleteness in our hearts. Now this requires courage, and it requires discipline, and it requires sensitivity for one to be able to evaluate one's challenges and to be able to have the peace and the serenity to be able to feel one's weaknesses, because they don't roar at you like a lion. They coo at you like a dove. when you're willing to hear the whispers of your heart and to realize if we can identify our spiritual rubble and our spiritual debris and find the time to renovate or at least to patch it up. But I think there's one more message from this Gemara, and that is the statement that Rabbi Yossi says that he learned from Eliyahu, Lamadati she'ein nichnasim l'chorba, that one does not enter into a ruin. And obviously, on a national level, we don't enter into a ruin on a national level because we are a people of destiny, not a people of fate. Our Judaism may incorporate the national tragedies of the Churban, the national tragedies of the Shoah, into our mindset, but our Yahadus is not predicated on the Shoah. There is such a thing as Zecher l'Churban, but there's also such a thing as Zecher l'Migdash, of looking forward. We are a people of destiny. We are a people that have common goals, common dreams. And we look at Yahadus and we look at Torah as the means through which we are affected, at the means in which we can transform our people, and the means through which we can transform society. It is interesting that Rav Yosef Kahaneman, when he founded the Panovich Yeshiva in Bnei Brak, who lived from 1886 to 1969, Rav Yosef Kahaneman, who prior to the war was the head of the yeshiva and the rabbi of the town of Panovich in Lithuania, he decided to dedicate the Panovich Yeshiva on the 27th of Sivan, June 10th, 1953. And he picked that day because it was the day on which the Nazis entered Lithuania. And the Panovich Rebbe, not in these words, but the Panovich Rebbe basically said, as he dedicated his yeshiva, as he wanted to make a statement that he was rebuilding the ruins of the Jewish people, that we were not a people of fate, but a people of destiny. What the Panovich Rebbe was saying is that Torah and Judaism is not about never again, but rather it is about again forever. That we don't focus just on the negative, on never again, but we look at what has happened to us and we are forward thinking and we say again forever. And this is the message about Ein, that we don't enter a Churban on a national level, even though we have to remember the tragedies of the past and the challenges of the present. It can never create a focus in which we become a people of fate instead of a people of destiny. But again, this national message is also true on a personal level. Because while it is important that we enter into the spiritual debris that is found within our hearts, why it is important that we count every day of the Sfira, and it cannot be relegated through Shomea Ka'one. We have to really articulate it ourselves, because we have to do the march ourselves. It's not about a passage of time. It's about creating the moments to work on ourselves and to change the spiritual debris that is found in our hearts and our souls. And while that analysis of our personal challenges is critical, we also have to realize that we don't enter a Churban. That analysis can never create paralysis. We are B'nai Torah, and we want to grow, and we must grow. But we don't live our lives in the Churban. Because even with all of our challenges, we have gifts. Gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given each and every one of us. Gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given only us. Gifts that don't say that we are acting with hubris, with gaiva. Gifts that compel us to make a difference in the world around us and to make a difference within our own lives. It is our responsibility to be transformational agents of change. It is our responsibility to be that first and foremost to ourselves before we worry about the rest of the world. Because I have found those that that use this time in your lives to build yourselves will ultimately be the most effective in the future in helping others. It is the responsibility of us to be nichnas to the Chorban, as Rabbi Yossi did, to look at our spiritual inadequacies, but not to allow that to paralyze us in the building of our families and creating beautiful worlds with our wives or with our future wives, please God. And to recognize the fact, and this part of my talk is based on the ideas of Rabbi Soloveitchik, that there's a holiness in the dialectic, that the challenge is to recognize that this wonderful piece of the Gemara, that the Piyazetzna enlightens to each and every one of us, reminds us of the fact that while we have a responsibility to be nichnas into the Chorban, we have the responsibility to look upon ourselves and to go through a process of tikkun. We also have the responsibility to never become paralyzed through that endeavor. Now, on Sunday, Emir Teshem, I'll have the privilege of talking a little bit more in depth about the unbelievable personal opportunity I had in being a shamish of Rabbi Soloveitchik. But I just wanted to conclude just with one story. Towards the end of Rabbi Soloveitchik's tenure at Yeshiva University, the family asked that the shamashim should rotate, that we should sleep in the apartment. The apartment, Morgenstern dorm, one-bedroom apartment, two beds, one for Rabbi Soloveitchik and one for the shamash. And for the last 2 years that Rabbi Soloveitchik was in YU, I had the privilege of living part of the time in Morg on the 7th floor and part of the time in Morg on the lobby floor. A little intimidating initially to sleep in the same, to have Rabbi Soloveitchik as your roommate. I think the first few weeks I slept in a suit and then eventually moved to a t-shirt and sweatpants. But even then with a tie. And while Rabbi Soloveitchik was at home in every aspect of halacha, in every area of Jewish philosophy and of general philosophy, in any sugya in Shas, Rabbi Soloveitchik was extremely humble. And every single night he would just evaluate if he had given the most effective shiur to his talmidim, who were young enough to be his grandchildren. And when a student in the shiur, even the youngest, would challenge Rabbi Soloveitchik, he would either answer, but the few times in which he realized the student had gotten him, he would sometimes say, "You're right, I'm wrong, and tomorrow we'll relearn the sugya according to the way you suggested." There was a certain anivus there. There was a certain commitment to enter into that chorban, and to work on himself, even at an age in which everybody would say there was no longer a need for tikkun. I remember the nights when at 3 o'clock in the morning I would turn around and see that Rabbi Soloveitchik was not in bed because he was sitting in his parlor simply just thinking about the fact that that someone was going to come and there was a shaila that he had to engage this person with, and he had not yet convened his halachic arsenal to respond in a way that he felt comfortable. And so while there was this purity of intent, this commitment of making sure that he was always building himself, at the same time, he never suffered from the fact that when he needed to take a stand on an issue, and when he needed to make a presentation, and even sometimes when he couldn't answer the way the people wanted him to answer, he always realized that the analysis that he had gone through the night before, when he basically didn't sleep, wouldn't paralyze him from communicating decisions that he had to communicate, even if it wasn't the answers that the people who came to ask Mashiach wanted to hear. There was this commitment of always of self-growth, but yet a certain understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given him gifts, and he wanted to be able to share those gifts in the most effective way possible. None of us are Rabbi Soloveitchik. But there is so much to learn, not only from the Torah that is written down, but really from the way he conducted himself. A person who understood the message that is found in Brachas and Daf Gimel. Our responsibility to constantly rebuild ourselves, but never to allow that process of rebuilding and of going through a process of dealing with any spiritual debris that we may have, never to allow that process to shun and to ignore the talents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him and his responsibility to share those talents with others. May we learn from his messages and realize that each and every one of us, as we march towards Shavuos, have that responsibility also. To recognize the fact that we need to go through tikkun, but never to allow that to paralyze us, and to realize the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given each and every one of us. A good Chodesh.